This is URN
Showtime Breakdown.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Showtime only on URN with me, Ella, and I'm joined, of course, by Abby.
Hello.
I mean, it's been a whole month since we were last here. We haven't learned anything. We're the same people.
We have not improved at this radio lark at all.
No.
But we're still having fun.
We're quite entertaining every now and again, and we love it. So thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch with us at any point during the night, send us a message at urn1350.net. See the online messaging service. We'll give you a shout out or whatever. You can also find us on Facebook, URN Showtime, and Twitter Showtime URN. Abby will be tweeting the whole show. We hope.
Yes.
Her battery might run out.
Yeah. We're really playing with my phone battery this time.
Oh, it's going to be very exciting.
A tense moment.
Tonight's playlist is based off shows and movie musicals mainly that we've seen over the Christmas holidays. Mainly me, yes. Because apparently I live this life anyway, whereas
yes.
Abby's just like, I force this upon her.
I just turn up.
Basically. But opening tonight, before we move on to that, as you can probably tell, it was Good Morning from the classic movie musical of 1952. It was Singing in the Rain, which starred, of course, Debbie Reynolds, who, unfortunately, you're probably aware, we lost just before Christmas. It was really sad because she is a really wonderful performer, and that song is just incredible. It's one of the most iconic tap dance routines ever, I think.
Which we didn't attempt to copy in the studio.
We didn't. Which is why we're not out of breath at the moment.
Yes.
That won't last the entire term. I mean, if you think about it, the tap dance routine for Good Morning, it took 15 hours to shoot. They started at 8 a.m. and they finished at 11 p.m. Debbie Reynolds' feet were bleeding. It was just so much hard work they put into it, but it's so worth it because it is just fantastic.
It just shows the amount of dedication put into it. Like,
I remember,
it's incredible.
She said in an interview years afterwards that the two hardest things in her life were childbirth and Singing in the Rain. We're like, we thank you, Debbie.
thank you so much for what you gave us.
She will be sorely missed. So we now move on to another movie musical I saw over Christmas, and this is one of my favourites. It's Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yes. In Showtime history, really.
Yes. Okay, so a bit of background about the film. It was made in 1954, starring Howard Keel, Jane Powell, Tommy Rowell, and it tells the story of the seven Pontypey brothers who, after their eldest brother, Adam, played by Howard Keel, he gets married, and all the brothers decide they also want wives. And so Adam's wife, Millie, teaches them how to behave like 1850s Oregon gentlemen, and they go off to town and they find these women and they fall in love. And this is where it gets a little bit touch and go. Adam, who hasn't had Millie's etiquette lesson, suggests they go and kidnap the women, take them with a vicar to their shed on the side of a mountain and marry them.
Interesting proposal technique.
As all the greatest love stories begin. And then they get back, they kidnap these six women. They get back to the shed on the side of the mountain. They realise they haven't brought a vicar with them, and there's
oversight.
Been an avalanche, so they're all stuck there. And of course, because it's a 50s musical, they fall in love and everything works out
fine. Everything's fine.
I remember reading the review of it in the Radio Times, and it was like, despite some sexism, you're like, well,
oh.
Massive understatement there. But it is a really good film. It is of its time. And it's based off another book that was based on the Sabine women, which is an actual event where the Romans kidnapped the Sabine women to populate. Anyway,
through this before.
That's what this song is about, basically. And we don't condone kidnapping of anybody. Abby's looking at me because I have this, like, secret desire to be kidnapped. But we'll move on to that later. This is a great song, whatever the background of it is, and one that I absolutely love. So from Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, this is Sobbing Women.
Tell you about them sobbing women.
Okay. So
that was Sobbing Women from
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Great song. It's quite kidnappy.
Also, excellent commentary from Ella was happening while that was happening. So she'd sing a line and then go, actually,
they weren't secretly overjoyed. I feel that if they were overjoyed, it's very, very deep down.
I don't think we should, like, project feelings onto these women that are going to be kidnapped.
And also, Robin Hood didn't kidnap anybody. The point is, I really like that song. And
it is quite catchy, I have to say.
One of my highlights at university was in first year when that got played in a lecture about the Sabine women. And I just remember everyone looking. It's like that moment in The Producers where they start Springtime for Hitler and the audience just looks gobsmacked. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Howard Keel, clicking along, like ready to sing. And everyone was going, oh my goodness, the 50s were such a different time. And I'm like, well, no, that's also wrong because it's not from. Yeah, anyway, great song, love it.
Your knowledge of musicals really got in the way of your education at that point. You were like, actually, hang on, everybody, can we just have a
little bit
of a conversation?
I watched, as I said, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers over the Christmas holidays, and I remember turning to my brother and saying, it's a real shame that we've lost this sort of culture of movie musicals where you would have these sort of big names like Howard Keel and Doris Day, even Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds, people like that, who were just, they would be in all the sort of movie musicals of the time. I mean, if you think to any of the classic movie musicals of the 50s particularly, Howard Keel is probably in it. Annie Get Your Gun, Calamity Jane, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. They've just got the Kiss Me Kate. There's this repertoire, and I feel it's a real shame that we've lost that. But,
ooh,
little did I know.
Is that a segue?
That might be a segue, nice. Or at least a build up to one. Because a couple of weeks after I said that, La La Land was released.
Yes.
And Abby's happy because she actually has seen this one.
I have seen this one. I've seen this one twice, actually.
Yes, I made her go see it with me because I thought it'd be weird if I turned up by myself. And I loved it. We went to see it the other day and, I mean, people are going on about it and the fact that it's going to win an Oscar. And I hope it does because it is a really good film. It's a modern story. It's a modern love story, but it's, and set in modern day.
Yeah.
But it's told in the feel and the style of an old-fashioned musical,
yeah,
which I really like. I sat in the cinema with Abby and the first number came on and I did this big dance thing and I was so ready to clap at the end. I mean, I did like a little clap.
It was the fact that you turned to me and went, I'm planning the stage show now.
Yeah, so like, I spent most of the film working out how it would be staged when they move it.
Anyone wants to do that, it's considering that all of the musicals are touring this year, if anyone wants us to produce that for them,
I will come along.
I'm more than happy.
I work for a very reasonable fee. But La La Land is actually really, really good. And one of the things I loved about it was the cinematography, because it's basically the life's work of Damien Chazelle, who wrote and directed it. It's basically his life work. He's been wanting to do this his entire life. And one of the things he did was have these really long takes. So they're not cutaways. There's this really like sweeping camera.
It is beautiful.
And it's, that also lends to its sort of feel as a proper musical. Cause
I think Mark Kermode on their radio show, he was talking about how all of the long takes and how he was really annoyed that films that want to be taken seriously are all in kind of like dour colours, they're all quite brown and saturated, whereas this was such a vibrant like piece of cinema and yet still it could be taken seriously even though it was a musical, so it kind of combines all those things. It was really cool.
And we're not going to talk about the ending because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's seen it, but the ending is really clever.
Really,
I think.
It's really beautiful as well.
Yeah.
Just like,
basically, we love this film and please go and see it because it's great. And then we can play it every week and it'll be fine.
But so, even if you don't, we will play it every week anyway, as we have proved many a time with many a musical.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, I think that's enough said on the topic of La La Land. Just that it is, although I don't think it's quite the same as having like a big name who stars in lots of movie musicals,
no,
it's a step in the right direction for bringing back that culture of it.
And I don't think it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it is pretty damn close.
It's a very good film. And because of that, we're going to play a song from it. We're going to play a song called Someone in the Crowd, which is where Mia, who's the lead female, played by Emma Stone, has gone to she's got back from a bad audition and her housemates pressure in to go into a party. This is Someone in the Crowd. You got the invitation. And our next song actually comes from another film, which is equally new in release.
Yes.
I don't know whether Abby's really excited or just cold.
I'm very excited.
Okay.
I'm a bit of both, but I'm very excited.
Suddenly her demeanour changed. Because Abby and I also went to see this film just before
we
Christmas.
We do actual work. I'm going to point that out. We don't just go to see films.
Not a lot. I mean, we are just these people in real life. This time, it was Disney's latest Moana. And everyone was going on about it because it was like, oh, it's this brand new Disney film. And, oh, it's so fascinating because she doesn't have a love interest. Oh, it's for... What's up?
Everyone remember Brave? No love interest. It's been done. But it was good. It was really good. I genuinely really enjoyed this film, and I really recommend you go and see it. It's such a good
film. It's one of those I don't think I would have seen until you were like, oh, do you want to go see it? And I was like, yeah, sure, we'll give it a go because Disney. But then I watched it and I was like, this is a great film and I would need to see it again.
It is a really good film. It's a great story. It even features Disney sort of taking the mick of themselves. But what is more important than all of that put together and makes it even a better film is the fact that the music was done by Showtime favourite, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Give him applause. Creator of In the Heights, Bring It On, and of course Hamilton, which we will get to a little bit later on. As I said, Moana is a really good film, a nice story, brilliant music, and it stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a demigod called Maui, who the title character of Moana has to sort of find before she completes the quest. And I love this song so much, and it's sung by Maui when he and Moana first meet, and it's very jolly. That's why I like it.
Jolly alert, everybody.
Jolly alert. It's a very jolly song, and it's basically Maui listing all the things he's done for the human race. So this is You're Welcome. As I said, though, Lin-Manuel Miranda composed the music for Moana, and obviously he's most famous at the moment for Hamilton, which basically we and every other person on the planet won't stop talking about. The point at which I'm getting kind of annoyed by it. I feel really bad being the host of a musical theatre show and being annoyed by what is effectively the greatest and the biggest change to musical theatre that's ever happened.
I think just because you run a musical theatre show, though, you hear about it a lot.
I do.
It's one of those things that you have to bear.
But there is important news about Hamilton at the moment, because it is coming over to London and will open for previews at the end of November. Priority tickets went on sale this week and have been selling basically quicker than hotcakes.
you forgot the phrase, like, then.
What sells fast? Hotcakes. If you signed up for priority sale and you haven't got tickets yet, you can still get them up until tomorrow. After that, you'll need to wait until the next set of tickets are released on the 30th of January, which is the Monday after. That's when general sale will begin, and that's
chaos
basically
descends.
Going through. It will be mental, so do try and get tickets quite quickly. We'll remind you about that next week. But for now, we're quite excited about Hamilton, because we have got tickets.
Road trip, Showtime road trip.
Yes. Oh,
exciting.
People, join us. And so in honour of that, we are going to play a song from Hamilton. And this is one that has never been played on Showtime before. So without further ado, this is The Schuyler Sisters. That was The Schuyler Sisters from Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton. The reason I played that, as well as the fact that Hamilton has come out, is because I'm slightly obsessed. There's a thing called Broadway Miscast where they do this big concert of Broadway songs, but they are sung and performed by people who would never be cast as that person in the actual show. And there's a great one of these three children. It's mainly Joshua Colley, who was in Les Mis at the time, playing Gavroche, and there are these three boys who sing that song, and they, I'm not going to lie, do it very, very well. I was like, please can we get Joshua to come over to the West End version and actually sing that song, because he's incredible.
He would make an excellent...
He would be such a good Angelica, just going to say. But yeah, so Abby has just shared the link to that video, so go on Twitter at ShowtimeURN to find that. We now move on from one talented composer to another, and this time it is the great Andrew Lloyd Webber, a staple of any musical lover's experience. He's wonderful. His shows are so good that the American news programme Good Morning America recently broadcast a mashup of three of his musicals, School of Rock, Cats and Phantom of the Opera. And
not what you would expect to be mashed
it's
together.
It's incredible. I mean, I'm obsessed with this video. I've watched it non-stop since it was released. It's the most bizarre thing, because you watch these sort of three musicals coming together and you go, there's no way this is gonna work. And it is a bit hectic at times, but it just makes such perfect sense. It's one of the most bonkers things I've ever seen, but it's also one of the greatest. And as I said, I've been watching the video nonstop, and we are going to play the audio from it. Abby will be sharing the video, because I do think the video adds more to it, obviously. But I love this, and I hope you do too, because it's wonderful. So from Good Morning America, here is one of the greatest musical mashups of all time.
Music speaks to you, and that is what matters.
Absolutely brilliant. That was Gary Barlow's opening number from the first episode of Let It Shine. Another video worth watching, and of course featuring the vocal talents of Graham Norton and Mel Kedwich, who I love.
Yes.
I could totally see it as our Eurovision entry. It's incredible. And while we're on the topic of Gary Barlow, as I said earlier, Finding Neverland will be coming to the UK later this year. Now, I haven't seen Finding Neverland, the musical, obviously, because it isn't
was in Broadway
here yet. But I thought I would use it to substitute in some things I have seen. So bear with me on this.
Okay.
There's some tenuous links here. because... what I did watch over the Christmas holidays repeatedly, and I mean repeatedly, is Peter Pan Goes Wrong.
Yeah.
I just sat outside the studio waiting while the popular table was on. I just watched Peter Pan Goes Wrong.
She did. She watched it with headphones in and then quoted lines and just at random and then starts laughing.
So there would be silence. Then I would go, snap, 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 and laugh.
And I would be sat there on my phone. I would look up, realise it was Peter Pan Goes Wrong, and then go back to my phone.
It was on BBC One over Christmas. It has got a few days left on iPlayer, so do go and watch it because it's the greatest thing ever. It's by Mischief Theatre, who started off as an improv group, stage school, and then they formed Mischief Theatre, and they're responsible for comedy about bank robbery, which is on in the West End at the moment, and the Olivier Award winning The Play That Goes Wrong, which is touring the UK this year. We've got tickets for it in Nottingham. Do really recommend it because it's incredible. But as I say, they did Peter Pan Goes Wrong, and unfortunately that it's the film version on BBC is all with the original cast. They're now going off to America,
of course,
taking the show, going to Broadway, and leaving me here behind. But it's
unless
just
she can smuggle herself into a suitcase somewhere.
I can do most of the parts. I won't.
You're an excellent understudy.
There's a particular one that I won't do on air because I've been annoying Abby with her, but I will.
And
do
also
it.
We're worried about her throat.
Yeah, I really injured my throat. I got such a sore throat over Christmas from doing a repeated impression of it. I'm so tempted, but I won't do it. As I said, Peter Pan Goes Wrong, it's obviously based on Peter Pan, which is by J.M. Barrie, which is the subject of Finding Neverland. So I was like, oh, I'll substitute it well. And this song is called Believe. I have slight issues with it because I find that, unlike Andrew Lloyd Webber or Lin-Manuel Miranda, Gary Barlow's songs all sound very Gary Barlow,
yes,
which frustrates me. So listen to this. I do enjoy it as a song. It has grown on me the more I listen to it. It's got kind of a Big Fish feel to it, that sort of, oh, have dreams and live them,
okay,
kind of feel to it.
Ella doesn't quite believe in that kind of philosophy, if you haven't noticed from the sarcastic edge.
So this is Believe from the original Broadway production of Finding Neverland. It's time for our penultimate song, and this comes from a movie musical I watched just the other day. After being inspired to watch it by the appearances of two of its cast members in other films I'd seen, the first was Kevin Guthrie, who makes a very, very brief appearance in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And I spent the entire film,
2 hours of Ella's life was spent not watching the latest Harry Potter
not
film,
not watching the film, but
trying
going,
to place
I know
this
that
one
man.
Guy.
How do I know him? And then I walked out and Googled him, and yeah, he's in this film. And then the second person I saw was the lovely George MacKay, who stars as Joe, aka Bromley, in Pride, which I watched over Christmas. Great film, made me cry at the end. It was so emotional. And fun fact, for another like throwback to early in the show, he also played Curly in the film version of Peter Pan with Jason Isaacs. So it's all linking. But yes, they appeared together in Sunshine on Leith, everybody's favourite. Last time I mentioned it, I know Abby hadn't seen it. Have you seen it yet?
I'm going to have to be honest with you, no.
Okay, we're not friends anymore. This will be Abby's last time on the show.
Bye, guys. It dropped into the alligator pit underneath the studio.
Do you know what alligators say? Snap. Actually, that's a crocodile, but the joke's there. I'm deeply sorry.
Construct the joke yourself.
I love this musical, and I know you all will as well. From the fabulous Sunshine on Leith, this is Over and Done With.
This is the story of our first teacher.
Over and Done With from everybody's favourite Sunshine on Leith. Also a nice sentiment if you're feeling like exams aren't going particularly
yeah.
well.
It's, you know, and in case you didn't know what the song title was, I think they mentioned it a few times.
Isn't
that
once
song.
Or twice, I think?
Or maybe.
It's in there.
Yeah.
If you read between the lines.
Unfortunately, that brings us to the end of tonight's show. As always, thank you for listening. We're back. I mean,
for listening this far, but yeah. You have us every week from now.
We've definitely arrived back in the studio, haven't
yes.
we?
With a bang, a crash, and smoke machines and glitter.
It was lots of jazz hands.
Lots of jazz hands. A few high kicks earlier on as well. It was exciting. If you want to get in touch with us at any point during the week, we're on Facebook at URN Showtime or Twitter Showtime URN. Feel free to message us with any requests, shout outs.
We don't do anything else all week.
No.
Basically just prepare for the show and that is about it.
Basically, yes. Now, closing for us tonight is a song from a musical I watched just a few days after Christmas because I gave the DVD to my brother as a Christmas present.
And stole it back.
It's mine now. He's been wanting me to play a song from this show basically since I got Showtime. So I'm sorry that I'm only just getting around to it. I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed this musical and hope that you will as well, because you will definitely be hearing a lot more of it because I love it and it's so interesting and so well staged. For now though, if you have a musical based on the Songs of Madness and you go home for a surprise party, there's really only one song that you can play.
There's only
so,
one.
So without further ado, this is Our House from Our House.
This is URN Showtime Breakdown.